Okay, so when we talked about apprenticeship to Jesus, and then I got into the two chapters where it talked a little bit more about it, and there was one thing, well, two things specifically. One of them we kind of touched on. The other one is what I want to kind of add. But so he was saying the way that we do apprenticeship under Jesus is three ways. One, to be with Jesus, to become like him, and then to do what he would do if he were us. So I think we kind of touched on that last week. Today's, when I was reading this morning, he was talking about, he goes into like how to do this. So this idea of, I think we brought this up, you brought this up last week, Andrea, about how he said, you know, our lives are kind of like feeding the life, our habits are feeding the life that we have. And so we should be developing out, we should be developing a system in our life that ends up making it so that the life we want is the outgrowth of our way of life, right? Like,
yes, I love that. Yeah.
And he breaks it down by saying, and this is the same thing Pete Scazzaro says, the guy I was telling you guys about, emotionally healthy, spiritually, a rule of life, which is the thing I wanted to talk about. So he's saying that we achieve inner peace when our schedule is aligned with our values. And that's what our rule of life is. And he brought up John 15 and abiding, and saying that, he says, it's a way to slow down, a way to live into what really matters, which is what Jesus called abiding. He mentions like for Jesus in the Gospels, it appears that like having key relationships, doing the work that God had sent him to do, you know, resting, like the Sabbath, those are rules of life. Those are the things that he did to abide. And so I just liked the concept of a rule of life. And that whole, basically what I read and was like, ooh, that's a good conversation, is the whole, we achieve inner peace when our schedule is aligned with our values, and how difficult that is basically to do. But
I like the thing you just said in the end, and I had it, but then I kind of lost it. The blank to abide, like, you know,
same thing. Yeah. It was, a way to live into what really matters.
Oh, you maybe it was just your words, but it was basically, you know, like set your life up so that you can abide. Yeah. Something like, but to abide, like, I like that part right there, because when you were talking earlier about, you know, here's what you need to do to abide with Jesus. You're with Jesus, and then you try to live like him. And then you basically think about what he would do in your situation. Right. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's kind of like, okay. And all of that comes from, first and foremost, you could almost just stop it as being with Jesus, because if you're with Jesus, you're going to naturally imitate. Like, we don't tell our kids like, hey, you need to be like me, like blah, blah, blah. They, you know, they learn that from being with us and looking at us. Right.
Love and it's him, like,
so right. it's like, you know, that number one, being with Jesus. But the next part is so good too, because it's like, we need to set up our life so that we are actually with Jesus, because then we don't need to focus on this and that. And I've had that in my life in so many areas where it's like these things I concentrate on working towards so much, I'll work and work and work, and the fruit just doesn't come. But then when I make certain changes in my life where I focus on maybe just a more broader, like, foundational concept of, like, you know, like, let's say like being healthy, then that fruit comes that I was trying to achieve from maybe some specific diet or some specific workout. And it came from me just getting there to that place where I was actually healthy and not focusing on those like more peripheral actions, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, if we start with just being with Jesus, I love that idea of that, all these other little things that we want so badly, having that fruit of the spirit, having, imitating him, acting like him, that's going to naturally pour out of that, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was the other thing that he touched on, is he was, you know, he was saying that in making an emphasis on being with Jesus for sure, but also that becoming an apprentice of Jesus required things that we do, which is what we were saying, like setting up the life.
Yes.
You have to make margin to spend time with God. You have to study his word. You have to then put his word into practice, which I think is the part where, which I think is the sticky part for the conversation, setting up your life. Because we can, for the most part, you know, some of us, we can, it's easier to, and this isn't a snide remark at it. It's what we should be doing, but it's easy to like, you know, do dishes, clean up, and you can still be with Jesus. Like it's easy to be with him and still do things. But I like that he mentioned key relationships and also doing the work that God sent you to do, because that's the part where we usually miss, where we don't do, you know what I mean? It's easier to get in a bubble where we are abiding with Jesus, but maybe not serving where we should, and maybe not, you know, being active in our own callings and things like that. Like those parts that are more hard to make space for.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I was thinking too, as you're talking about the dishes thing, about, you know, kind of the difference between actually being with somebody in community versus being with somebody just as far as like proximity and location. And now, like, obviously Jesus, you know, isn't physically staying in our kitchens, but yeah, we can always like be with him while we're scrubbing those dishes.
Yeah.
But like, that's not the same. Like, well, I was just going to say, that's not, I mean, like if you think about earthly relationships, you know, just showing up and being there, there's something to be said for that, but that's not really what makes like a deep relationship grow. Like you can go through the motions and you can be around somebody. Like we probably all have like those friends where it's like, you might be with them a lot, but how much are you really actually like pouring into each other's lives? How much are you really actually like growing with each other versus just maybe, you know, your work friends or your whatever friends, you know? And so, I mean, I think it's probably easy just to be casual and kind of maybe a little careless sometimes with our relationship with Christ like that, because of the fact that we can just kind of, oh, we can pray to him while we're in the car. How much are we intentionally pouring into the type of relationship that would actually change, like you're saying, how we serve, how we live, how we make our life decisions? You know, that doesn't come necessarily from, I mean, it can come. I'm not diminishing. I'm not saying don't pray while you do the dishes.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just saying like, don't like, I treat it like you would another relationship. Don't just be like, oh, what are you talking about? You're my friend. I talk to you on the phone while I'm doing dishes. Okay. Like actually make time for that. You know, like it would be like, if you guys, if I'm all like, no, it's cool, I'll do our podcast while I'm like, you know, clean the house. Like my house needs to be clean. Trust me. It does. Like, I know you feel this too, but we decided we're going to do this. We decided we're going to put this time in, you know?
Yeah, so exactly.
Don't treat Jesus like your side chick.
Wow. That's exactly what he's talking about. Exactly what you just said. Just making, actually doing some things and being more, you know, intentional about how you're living your life like Jesus lived his. So anyways, I just wanted, that was a thought, because I just did that reading this morning and I just liked the whole rule of life, that we achieve inner peace when our schedule's aligned with our values and how to live into what really matters.
I like that too. Thank you for bringing
it
up.
I think so. Yeah, I think it can, we can speak on that, and it still makes that connection, like rules of life still falls in or will connect to the spiritual practices.
Yeah.
But I like the where the conversation was going, because it also, like, I had a chance to listen to Drea's pastor. She sent it to us, and so two sermons kind of run together, but I get the gist of it. It's talking about the fruit of the spirit and, you know, how we're aligning our life, and it goes into the freedom. So Galatians 5, I think that's where that disconnect happens. Like you're talking about, both of you are saying that, you know, treating God, you know, wanting to grow in that relationship and spending time with him and being intentional. But then on the other side is like, we kind of also just treat it like it's whatever, casual. And I think, so he was speaking like it's that freedom that kind of trips us up. So yes, we're free in Christ to do things, but what does freedom actually mean? And so I think that's what we really have to grow in as Christians, believers. What does freedom mean? And that just means being held accountable to me. And check me if I'm wrong, please, because you're all, you know, you're my spiritual group, but holding accountable to what God says, like you said, abiding in Jesus, John 15, being like Christ. What does it mean to be like Christ? And doing the things of just spending time with him and, you know, just growing that relationship and being intentional and being careful that although we have these freedoms, I still really can't do whatever I want to do. And he kind of mentioned like the binge watching, which, you know, we've done. And but what is that doing for our soul? Or was, except for Drea, she says, no, she shaking her head. No, y'all. But that's okay. I mean, because, you know, we all have something that we kind of allow ourselves to just kind of fall into and get overtaken. And the word says, be careful of, you know, of being overtaken by things and people.
What I took away is his practical take that I thought was so in line with what Tish was talking about, you know, creating a life such that you are actually abiding in Jesus so that you can have that freedom that, you know, Paul speaks about in Galatians, is he talked about how it's not that the opposite of self-control is self-indulgence. You know, that's what we in our earthly fleshly minds want to make it into. It's like, oh, well, you're either into self-control, you're into self-indulgence. He's like, no, like those are both still centered on self. He's like, the opposite of you know, self-indulgence is not self-control. The opposite of self-indulgence is giving up yourself and serving in love in Christ. And like, I just love that. Like that's, I just thought that was so powerful because that's the truth is really the true freedom in Christ is when we take our focus off of ourselves, not when we're so obsessed with ourselves and trying to make ourselves into the perfect Christian and the perfect Christ follower and all those things. That's when we just stopped being obsessed with ourselves and start being obsessed with Christ and start serving others. And when you're serving others, you can't be focused on yourself. If you're really actually serving each other and loving each other, not like the begrudging right. serving, the like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this, but I signed up for it and I want to be a good Christian. Okay. Not that, but when you're actually really, really serving somebody, you can't be like focused on yourself. So I'm like, dang, that's so simple. You know? So that's like what Tish is talking about is like, set your life up so that you can't, you don't have these places to be selfish anymore. You know, like new mamas know that you don't get to be selfish. You're changing that baby's diaper. Like that's not selfish. I don't get anything from like getting baby poop on my hands. You know, like you learned that, you know,